Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 13. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Tonight is a night on which we remember. We remember something that happened so long ago that it's something none of us can trace our family trees back that far. We remember something that happened in a place so far away that most of us have never been there and never will. Nevertheless, we remember. We remember that on this night, Jesus and his friends were also gathered to remember. They gathered for a Passover meal, which is exactly a feast of remembering. Passover continues to be celebrated every year. And so, like us, they were gathered round a table. Like us, they were telling the story of their faith. Like us, they were calling to mind the saving acts of God. They remembered God being with them in steadfast love, even though they were harshly treated enslaved, even put to death for proclaiming the name of Jesus. They remembered God leading their ancestors in faith out of slavery, turning their bitter tears into rejoicing. And the Passover meal has many significant elements to it. They were dipping vegetables in salt water to remind them of their tears. They ate sweet fruits to remind them of their joys. They started to put the whole story together. And that's what the word remember really means, to put something back together. We remember something, and what was scattered suddenly comes together. What was in so many different parts suddenly draws together as one thing. And so they remembered together Jesus and his friends, their identity as God's people of the covenant, God's chosen race. Simon was also there, who Jesus had named Peter, and Andrew, John, and James, the brothers, the sons of Zebedee. Philip was there, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew. Another James, this one the son of Alphaeus. And another Simon, the Canaanite. And of course, Judas Iscariot was also there. And probably in the background, there would have been the women who prepared the supper, the ones in the story who are neither named or mentioned, but who logic and the fact that before the end of the story we learn their names tells us that they were surely there. They were as much of a part of it as the disciples were. And so all these people gather together in one place to remember God's saving acts. In a sense, they were remembering exactly who they were in the first place. And then Jesus does something which can't be explained. He takes a loaf of bread. He says a prayer of blessing over it. He breaks it. He shares it round. And he says, "Take, this is my body." That wasn't, of course, the first time that Jesus had blessed bread, broken it, and given it to people to eat. But in those other times, he did that same thing for great crowds of people. But here, there's a small gathering in the room somewhere in Jerusalem. This time, Jesus is breaking bread for his friends, the people he loved. He did it for a group of people who, from the beginning of their time together, mostly didn't understand anything of what he was doing or even saying. They had no idea where they were going with it. And he did it with some level of confidence that this was, in fact, the last supper he would ever share with his friends. And so, on this night, at this meal, the meaning of the bread was predetermined. It's a reminder of the suffering of the slaves in Egypt. But on that night, Jesus tells his friends that he is the bread. He will suffer. He will be broken. And the Bible tells us that he took a cup, he gave thanks over it, and again, he passed it round. And all of them drank from it. He said, "This is my blood of the covenant." And again, he takes this night of remembering and does something that really can't be explained. The meaning of the wine at the Passover meal never changes. The wine is shared during the meal as an act of blessing. And then Jesus, after passing around this cup, says, "This wine is my blood." He tells his friends that his life will be poured out, much in the same way as the life of the Passover lamb. And so Jesus joins with his friends to celebrate and remember the Passover, a meal that resonates at the heart of their identity as God's people. But at the same time, Jesus interprets that loaf of bread and that cup of wine in a completely different way. And this way forms the heart of our identity as Christians. And so that's what we do tonight. We remember. We put everything back together. And again, in remembering, what was scattered suddenly becomes one again. And at this table, we remember that Jesus spoke of his body being broken like a piece of bread. He spoke of his life being poured out like a cup of wine. But now Jesus is not hidden from us anymore. our eyes can see our teacher. We see in Jesus the love of God poured out like a never-ending cup of wine. We see in Jesus God's presence come to us, our daily bread, the bread we need for the journey. And in Jesus, we see God's acts of love and power. And in Jesus, our goal is realized. It's joy and freedom. All of these things we see when we remember. When what was scattered in our history becomes whole. When what was many becomes one. So like Jesus and his friends, tonight we gather around this table. We tell the story of our faith. We call to mind the saving acts of God. And like them, we now pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.